who have been studying with us throughout this past year. In fact, we took up a theme at the beginning of the year, and we said that it was something that God had given me in prayer as I prayed about what the theme of our church should be for the year, which was to learn to love like Jesus. Because I was praying about discipleship. When you think about what does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, what was he teaching his disciples? And simply put, he was teaching them to love like he did. And we find that that's the most engaging activity. Is very difficult. Because when you think about the love of God, it's the highest thing that we know.
Oh, yes, it is.
On earth, when you consider the magnitude of what God did,
yes,
for us, it's amazing. It's whoever wrote the song "Amazing Grace." Some of y'all know about that.
Oh yeah.
That is just amazing. The fact that God loves us so much.
Oh yes.
Yes.
And. The fact that he loves us that much is mind-blowing when you really just meditate on it. Think about the fact that he loves you. He cares for you so much that he did what he did.
Amen.
Taking on his only, taking on flesh to become like us.
My Lord.
Yeah.
In order to give his life as a sacrifice for our sin.
Amen.
Amen. And then he did this for whosoever. You don't have to meet any certain requirements. A lot of times that's where people get hung up when it comes to being a part of the church. Is we think, oh, when you know, when I get myself together and I can stop doing this, stop doing that, and start doing this and that, we think it's a set of stuff we need to do. But the truth is, the message of the church is that God has done everything that you need to qualify you to be a member of his church. And so what he did was an expression of his great love for us. John said it was because of his great love wherewith he loved us.
Yes.
See, that he did what he did. And so learning to love like him seems to be the highest ideal of Christian life. We hear a lot of stuff in the church too, so I'm sure there's a lot of confusion when you start to examine stuff that you hear in the church. But what we're talking about is not so much necessarily what you hear in the visible, physical church, as much as we're talking about what you read in God's Word.
That's right. Right.
And that's where we get the real information about how we should be, is reading the Word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Right.
See, so I think that's the falling point right there. People have set the Bible kind of in the background of church life and church activity instead of setting it in the forefront. But the Word itself is, as the Bible itself says, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, and that image of the two-edged sword, in other words, the sword is the symbol of authority.
Yes.
Whoever bears the sword does not bear the sword in vain. That's what Paul writes as he wrote to the Romans. In other words, the sword is the symbol of authority. And so God's word is the sword of the Spirit, as it says in the armor of God. It talks about the sword of the Spirit. And it's not hard. This is the thing I want you to say and to understand. It's a lifetime pursuit.
Yes.
I've been learning more and more about it myself as I go through life, which is a wonderful thing, because the more you know about it, somebody said, don't try to make me doubt it because I know too much about it. So when you study it and get it in your own mind, what God said, you're going to have a lot of people trying to make you doubt it.
That's right.
Even your own self, sometimes your own flesh says, well, you know, is God really that good that he really loves me? And we were talking about this in the new member class this morning. The devil started right there, making people doubt God's word. That's where it started, in the garden. Did God really say not to eat this tree here? That's where he starts.
Yep.
Well, you know what? He knows that if you do this, then he tells you a reason why you can ignore what God said. But that's been the problem in the church throughout the years, and not just in the church, but in the world. We got to learn to be, as we're going to see in our lesson today, steadfast and unmovable. I'm cutting to the end already. Here, but let me just say, the object of what I want to say is that God loves you unconditionally.
Yes, he does.
In other words, there's nothing that you have done or said or felt or thought for which he is not willing to fully accept you, and he does it by faith. And how do you know his end is right? How do I know he really feels that way about me? Because he sent his only begotten son into the world. Now keep in mind, you have to understand who Jesus is. Jesus, he is God.
Yes.
The Bible says he was in the beginning with God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him there was not made anything that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now that's the prologue to the book of John.
Yes.
And that's not on your sheet there, so don't look for that on there. I'm just reciting that because it says that Jesus, the Son of God, was equal with the Father.
That's right. Amen.
And he took off that equality, and let's say he muted himself down to be able to occupy human flesh.
Yeah.
He decided to do that before the world began.
Yes.
Because he already knew what the devil would do. The devil didn't surprise Jesus.
No way.
Didn't surprise God at all. God knew exactly how human history would unfold, every little bit of it. So even before he made anything, that's why it says Ephesians 1:4, that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So if you believe, it's because God predestined that you would love him and believe and be his child and be saved. He wants that for everybody. But this is really the part that kind of blows my mind. He does not force you to enter that relationship.
No way.
He wants you to enter that relationship, but he won't force you.
No way.
He wants you by your own free will to say, I know what you did, God. I know you sent your son. I trust him. I believe he died for my sins. I knew he didn't have to do it.
Yes.
Because he was God.
Model.
Why should God have to take on death? And the only answer is because none of us could defeat the enemy that was introduced by sin coming into the world. We didn't have a solution. You know what God said? The day you sin, remember he told Adam, the day you disobeyed my word, you shall surely die. So the curse of death was in the world. And the only one could fix it, he is God.
That's right. Amen.
Because everyone born of the seed of Adam, which is all of us, see, has that problem.
That's
from
right.
Birth, you come in the world with a problem.
Amen.
See, you are born dead, or so to speak.
Yes.
Amen.
And the only way you can be made alive is Jesus say you must be born again.
Amen.
See, to be born again means you understand what God did. God pays the debt for your sin to buy you out of the second death. And he gives you eternal life. Eternal life is not an amount of time. I talk about this with thousands of people in my ministry. It's not about time. Eternal life is a relationship with God.
Yes, it is.
See, when you enter into that relationship, and you can get that definition, if you want a biblical definition, look at John 17:3. Jesus said, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So it's about who do you know. See, I want to know, do you know the one who can give you eternal life? Eternal life is a proper relationship with God. It's not about time. You know how many souls are eternal?
Amen.
All of them.
All of them.
As far as time is concerned, everyone will continue on. The question is, will you continue with God or against God? See, we're born against him. He gives us the opportunity to choose him and to be with him.
Yes.
Jesus put it this way in Matthew 12:30. He says, he who is not with me is against me. So that divides all the people in the world into two groups. You're either with him or you're against him.
That's right.
There's only two places you can be. And if you're in this room, you're in one of those two places. And you should know in your heart of hearts which one you're in. And the purpose of the church is to let you know God loves you so much. He wants you in the group with Jesus. He wants you to be in the group that's saved and know you saved.
Amen.
He wants you in the group that has eternal life, a proper relationship with the Father. That's the group he wants you
Amen.
In. And he's not going to force you into it,
nope.
But he just wants you to hear the word. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why we preach. We preach to let you know, preaching is the proclamation that God loves you just exactly like you are.
Yes.
And if you trust him and believe he gave his son and raised raise him from the dead, which is the proof that he loves you and that he defeated death. No one else did that.
No one else.
Nobody got up out the grave and said, that's it, I'm done, I'll never see death again. No one has ever done that. Jesus called some folks about the grave, but they had to go back.
That's right.
You see, he's the only one got up and is still up.
The only one.
And ain't gonna never be down again.
Amen.
And he can bring with him every one of you who believe in him.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. So we want to be in that relationship.
Yes.
How do we do it? Now that's where we get to the subject of our lesson today. You have to have your mind set on eternity.
Yes.
It's easy to get hung up on the temporal.
Right.
See, the stuff we see right now will go out of existence.
Yes, it will.
You know how we know? The Bible says the heavens and the earth shall pass away. Mark 13:31, if you want a verse for that. But my word will never pass away.
Never.
See, and so the stuff you see, we put a lot of stock in everything, and we love all this, and it's all right. It's good to love it. It's good to understand it, but put it in its right place.
Right.
God loves you. He accepts you just like you are. He loved you so much he gave his son, and he wants you to know it. That's what preaching is supposed to do. It's supposed to convey to you the fact that God loves you. He accepts you. He gave his son to cover you. He wants you to receive the free gift,
yes,
of salvation.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do to earn God's favor.
Nothing
I can do. No one can do anything to earn God's favor.
That's right.
But God wants you to know I love you and I accept you.
My Lord.
See? And so that's why you need to learn to have your mind set on eternity. Don't get hung up in the temporal, because it will pass away.
Yes,
it will. The Bible says the heavens and the earth shall pass away. But let's look at these verses that we got out here for this subject and read these, and I think it'll help. Now, these are some verses you hardly ever hear in on a Sunday morning service. Normally, when you hear this, you're sitting in a funeral service. And I'm not trying to make you feel morbid or nothing like that. But I've always said, hey, this needs to be preached Sunday morning.
That's right.
Not while everybody's sitting here in their mind really isn't on what we're talking about.
Right.
Sometimes when you're at a funeral, your mind is in another place.
Yeah.
But you look at this here, it says, now we're going to read this together. This is Job, chapter 14, 10 through 14. Let's read. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time I will wait till my change come. Now we read that in funerals often, very often. We want to just reflect on it just a little today. That's the old covenant of the people of the Lord to the people of the Lord. New Testament scripture is 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 50 through 58. Let's read. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. That's the New Testament word of the Lord. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And as I said, we're going to speak on the subject of mindset on eternity.
Yes.
What happens when a person realizes the situation that we're in is it really should provoke you to think about where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole system of time was created by God. And God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Oh, yeah.
See, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And said, the Spirit of God hovered up gently upon the waters. And it's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit from the very beginning. It's by His spoken word,
yes,
that everything exists.
Amen.
And you see the Father and the Spirit there in the very first verses in the book of Genesis. So what we have to do is get into an eternal mindset, realize that God exists outside of time. He's not affected by time. He's eternal.
Yes,
He's the only eternally existing being. And He always has existed and always will. So how do we get where we think on that level, where we think on with a mindset on that eternal level? Do you know when time has run its course, the Bible says time won't be anymore.
That's right.
And everything will be back to eternity like it was in the beginning.
Man.
So that's where you really want to have your mind focused, not so much on what stuff I'm dealing with here. And it's all right because God made everything here for us to enjoy.
Yes, He did.
He wants you to enjoy your life.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be sitting around, looking, waiting on a light. Lightning bolt or something. No, He wants you to love your life, love your family, love all the people you see. That's what He did. He came to love on people.
Yeah.
See, and He loves you.
Yes, He does.
Know that in your heart. You know, you go through a lot of stuff in the world, and a lot of times stuff like this Job scenario, I think God put that there so we can see that there's always somebody having a worse time than you are.
Wow.
You don't have to look far.
Yes.
You don't have to look far. Somebody's going through more junk than what I'm dealing with. You know,
that's right.
But Job went through a lot of stuff, and we saw
that
God said, He's the one started the conversation in the beginning of the book. He said the sons of God, speaking of angels, came up to show themselves to the Most High God, and He said Satan came with them.
Yep.
And He said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That always troubled me a little bit, and I thought, well, what, God, you said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So God is boasting on Job, really, is what it is. He said, you know what? I know my servant Job.
Yeah.
He's saying that about you. I know my servant Michael.
Yeah.
I know my servant Larry. You know, He's got your name in there. And He says, you know why? Because I have invested in them.
Yes.
And you got your tricks and all your stuff you pulled and messed up everything, but I know these people.
Yes.
See,
amen.
I got an investment in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you know them, but I know them better.
Yes.
And I know you can put them to a test and they're going to stand the test.
Mama.
They have some faith.
Yes.
And faith is going to bring them through whatever it is that you put down. See, now you and I need to hear that. Job was a great example. He went through all kinds of stuff. He lost family members. He lost possessions. He had body sickness that infected his body. And he went through some of the most terrible stuff you ever want to read.
Oh, yes.
And you know what? His wife even broke down and said, why don't you just cuss God and die? Look how messed up your life. She broke down. But now we know the woman is the weaker vessel. Sometimes they break down a little easier because they're a little bit more emotional than the men. So we understand that. And I don't like the guys to get on a pedestal because it doesn't mean women are weak. The word is weaker. You're weak and she's weaker. You got a strap right there. Women are many times far more strong than men anyway in a lot of ways. But on the emotional level, they break down easier. And so Job said, hey, wait a minute. Let me back the train up here, sister. This is modern English. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was a good steward.
Yes.
He understood whatever God gave me, if He wants to take it, that's up to Him. I'm still here. He didn't take my life. So I trust Him.
Yes.
See, if we could get like that, you know what Job was thinking? My mind is on eternity. I'm not worried about this stuff. Yeah, I love my kids and they are gone. And that's hard. I know that would have to be hard. You know what? I haven't lost a child. Some of you have. And sometimes it's a great struggle.
Yes.
I have sat with people who have lost a child and talked with them and tried to reason with them, and it's a hard thing. You know, it really is. It's very hard.
Yes.
It brings some excessive hardship, particularly up on a relationship or a marriage. If you happen to be married, it's really hard. I know. I've struggled with parents who've been through it.
Yeah.
And so it's not an easy thing, and I'm not saying any of this stuff is easy.
No.
But I am saying if we have faith, we can persevere over anything.
Right. Oh, yes.
And God has never moved. He knows exactly what's going on. And if he allowed it, because he is the master who is in charge, you and I need to pray, how can I accept what he allows? And I know, just like Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. So he rebuked his wife to set her straight. Bless his name. Anyway. See, your word is, he gave it to you before, guess what? He can do it again. See? He can do it again. And he did, as the book goes on. We find out Job got blessed even more later on in his life. But right here, we're kind of in the middle of it. And that's where I wanted to get, because I think this speaks to you and me today in a way that I think we should hear. He says here, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? People worry about eternal stuff. Where do we go? What happens when we check out? It's something we worry about. But Job has a peace in his mind because he does know the Lord. And so he says, as the waters fail from the sea and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. This is a poetic genre, kind of. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. It seems like such a final thing to him. But he says, oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. And that's basically what happens. God says, when you go into that state, God is going to deal with the people who don't accept him. People who lie about him and give his glory to something or someone else. They are going to be dealt with, and it's going to be with his wrath. We can see it in so many places, but that's not our subject today. I want you to see that after all that's done, that the righteous will reign and rule forever and ever with Christ, and there will be joy everlasting, and you won't have to worry about it. In the meantime, Job kind of understands that here, so that's why he says what he says here in verse 12. So a man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. In other words, it's a final judgment, or so to speak. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be passed, because God is going to pour out wrath upon the ones who don't trust in him and don't believe him, because there's no reason why you shouldn't. In all honesty, the heavens declare his glory.
That's right. Amen.
The firmament shows his handiwork. Look how beautiful the world is in which you live. You know there has to be a God. And all the stuff you see. And then he asked the question, if a man die, will he live again? Now he has the hope of resurrection. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes. There's a transition that we make out of the fallen world into the eternal. So if my mind is set on it, this is the good news. You can set your mind on it now. You don't have to be rocked and rolled and shaken and fearful about how stuffy is in the world.
That's right.
Because you can say, God already settled that situation.
Yes.
You know what? It's the thing that's the most valid in all the world, and it's the only thing that makes the church valid at all, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And there wouldn't be any church if Jesus didn't get out the grave. So, and you and I, this Job, he lived before Christ. So he was looking forward to God doing something about the problem.
Yes.
But there was enough information in the Word that I could see God is going to do what he promised. And so, and when you read Job, don't let it bum you out. That's what I want to say. But realize that underneath it is a man of faith.
Yes.
He loves God. He loves his family. Amen. He loves the things God has given him, and he uses it to the glory of God.
Amen.
See, and that's the way we got to get our mind fixed like Job had his.
Amen.
No matter what the devil dishes out,
yes,
God is better, and he's greater. And he's going to stand with me even through every bit of trouble that I have to go through.
Yes, that's right.
So that's the kind of way we want to think. And if we can do that, that's going to get you somewhere. It's going to help you in everything you have to do. So as we consider Job, we can see that no matter how much difficulty we have to endure in this life, we are able to continue in praising God.
Yes.
Because he keeps giving us reasons to praise him.
Model.
Even when we have trouble to go through in our day-to-day lives, as we go through our day-to-day life, God still has a lot of things in your life that you can praise him for.
Amen.
We must continue to realize that life is filled not only with swift transition, but there is trouble on every side. But God is greater than all of us.
Yes, he is.
And he loves us. That's the good news. So no matter what trouble you go through, he said, I'll be with you in trouble. You ever read that in Psalm 90, Psalm 91? God says, I'll be with you in trouble. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, the enemies are still there, but I got a smorgasbord from the Lord. See, and I don't have to worry about my cup running over. I got more than I need. See, so the trouble is there, but God is there with you in the trouble, so you don't ever have to worry about it. And he loves you. Keep that in mind. Now, why does he do it? I want to give you something to think about. Why would he allow that kind of a situation? And it's a simple answer. The people who say they're your enemies, or that you perceive to be an enemy, or you feel are against you, God loves them too.
That's right.
He's trying to give them time to get their act together. He's trying to let them see how strong Sister Kim is walking with me. And oh boy, you know, and the attractiveness of the beauty of your life and how God is working with you will draw some of them to trust him.
Yes.
So how you hold up when you're going through trouble is evangelism.
Yes.
It's preaching to your neighbors. Yes. It's preaching to your co-workers.
Yes.
That's why Jesus said, a city set up on a hill cannot be hid.
Yes.
See, I see what you're going through, Michael, but how can you be so joyful? And you just lost your house, or you just, whatever you went through. See, all your family had death, and you seem to be joyful. And we over here falling apart, about to lose our mind. See, so the beauty of what God is doing in your life is preaching to the other folks, because God loves them anyway. That's why he teaches us, treat people the way you want to be treated. Don't go tit for tat, they're mean and evil and talking about me. No, I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated.
Model.
We call it the golden rule.
That's right.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm not going to return evil for evil.
That's right.
See, and that's beautiful, because my mind is set on eternity. I'm not trying to satisfy Tom, Dick, and Harry or none of them. I'm trying to live for the glory of God.
That's right. Amen.
That's the difference.
All right.
See, so you have to really pray about it, though. You know, it's easy to be in the flesh. Man, you talked about me, now I'm
gonna
talk about you worse.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way we think in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, but where is that going to get you? Not gonna get you anywhere. You know what? You'll blow your neighbor's mind if you say you talked about me. I said, well, praise the Lord for you, sister.
Yes.
I pray he bless you with real well. They go, what? I blow them right away. They go, oh my goodness, you know. They may be reluctant to cuss you again next time. See, so it's your behavior. He said, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See? So we have to pray on that. That's not easy. That's supernatural love. If I can come out of the flesh and say, I'm going to love you and do you right anyway, no matter how you did me.
Yes.
Because I'm going to treat you the way I want to do to treat me. See, and if you can get in that mindset, that's what we call a mindset on eternity. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest proof that God has provided for all mankind his great love.
Yes.
Because it is his desire that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that since death is the most painful thing we have to deal with in this life, I think, what do you think?
Yes, yes,
you think death is about the worst thing you have to deal with?
Yes.
Seems to me it is. I mean, I've been through some stuff. I've had stuff stolen.
Yes.
I've had all kinds of other evil stuff happen. I've been jumped on and beaten and all that. But seeing to me, death is about the worst thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
You know, it breaks your heart more than anything else. To me, I don't know, is that just me or do y'all feel that?
Yes,
see what I mean?
Yes.
So even going to that point, this is what we have to deal with. We need to come to the, God wants people to come to the knowledge of the truth. And since death is the most heinous thing we have to deal with in this life, the victory of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, is the greatest news that there is.
Yes.
There isn't anything better.
Nothing.
He defeated the grave.
Yeah, Lord.
Death is there's a solution to the problem of death.
Right,
I know where my grandma is.
Yeah.
I know where my father is.
Yeah.
I know where my mother is, those my sister.
Yes.
Because they knew the Lord. See, I know some folk, I don't know if I know where they are, but I'm not the judge, I don't know. But I'm just praying that somehow they got the news. You see what I mean? So you got to have an eternal mindset. And it's going to help you to be strong even in the midst of the worst thing you could be going through. And it's the victory that Jesus provides that makes it possible for you to have a mindset on eternal. See, he provides it. Why? Because he came in the world. We were talking about it in the new member class this morning. Imagine being face to face. I can't even imagine it. Face to face with the Father. You own everything. You stretched out billions of miles of galaxies and planets and all of that. And you set Earth in the midst of it. And you put man on it. And the angels who you have out there that you created said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou take notice of him? What's up with that, Lord? But we seem like we're so minuscule in comparison to all the stuff he made. And he did that to show you, I'm going to blow your mind with my love. And I want you to think about eternity.
Wow.
All the time. If you can do that, start to focus your mind on eternity. You won't be worried about, oh, okay, I didn't get the job. Or, okay, they cheated me. Okay, what kind of stuff you're dealing with. You can cope with it better. Because you know what? If you went through it and God allowed it, he's using it to make you better. He's using it to give you more. And he said, pray like this. Our Father, first of all, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Always keep him in your mind. Your kingdom is coming. Your will's going to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Just worry about today. I got tomorrow, and you can't do nothing about yesterday. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Next time I'm tempted to do something wrong, Lord, strengthen me so I don't do it. If I do, give me the boldness to come and confess it.
Yes.
So you can cleanse me again.
Yes.
See, his love is unfailing. He's not going to kick you out because you didn't do it all right. You know, because he knew we were going to fail already.
Amen.
See, and then he says, give us this day. If we can get that in our mind, I don't have to worry about, well, let's see what's going to happen 10 years from now. No. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. See, if I could concentrate on that, and I know God got that covered. And if I need it, he's going to send it. You know, and some stuff, if you ask for it, he's going to give it to you. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be open. Rejoice in your relationship with him. See, in everything you do, don't let the devil discourage you. Brother Ray saying, don't let the devil ride. He wanna ride. If you give him the keys, he will ride. Y'all know that, don't you? He'll come right in and wreck your whole life if you let him. But if you decide to rejoice in the Lord, like Paul said, always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. See that? The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's relationship with God.
You
know where I was written from? The prison. Written right out of the prison cell. He was in jail. All his rights and privileges taken away. I'm going to throw you a little slop down there to eat every so often. And he wrote, rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The guard is probably thinking, boy, this dude is awfully happy. You're the only one in here that's praising the Lord. You see how the impact of that is on other people?
Oh, yes.
And that's what you're here for. You are here to represent Christ.
Amen.
So you rejoice in God no matter what you're going through.
Amen.
You know, don't let the devil see you sweat. Don't let him see you sweat. Let him see you with your hands up giving God hallelujah. That'll blow him away. He'll leave you alone in it. You know, if you praise God, he got to go. The Bible says resist him and he'll flee from you. So as we conclude, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he puts it this way. Notice these verses. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So like this, the way I am, I'm in a sinful body. Cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
The wages for sin is
death.
I'm on a mission of death. But the gift of God, it's a gift, notice that, is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See, so when I accept Christ, I got the gift.
That's right.
So death doesn't have any more dominion over me.
Right.
So you know what the fact is? We're all set to die once.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the Bible says, appointed unto man once to die.
Yeah.
And after this, to judgment. But you don't have to die twice.
That's right.
You can either be born once and then you'll die twice.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be born twice and then you only have to die once. You have a choice. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, but when you are born from above, that's what that means. God gives you new birth, and it's free. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. It's free. You know how you get it? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's a promise from God. See, so when you receive that promise, I believe in Christ, then that means you're born again, because you see stuff that other people who don't accept Christ cannot see.
No way.
See, that's why it says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now, this was Jesus talking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a master teacher of the Jews. He said, man, am I telling you this stuff and you don't know what I'm saying? In John chapter 3, Nicodemus said, Lord, we know you're a teacher come from God. Because nobody can do the signs you do except God be with him. You know, and he said, except the man be born again, look right into his soul, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But that which is born of the flesh is
flesh.
That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus scratching his head, what is he talking about? And he said, the wind listeth and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it came from, neither do you know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It comes up on you, next thing you know, hey, that's for me. I trust God. I love him. He gave his son for me. He wants to adopt me in his family. And when you get that revelation, now your eyes are open and you can see.
Yes.
And the second death, cut off. You don't have to worry about it. So you don't even have to worry about the first one. Guess what? If you cut that second one off, you don't have to worry about the first one. I don't have to worry about it because it's only a phase. That's what Job shows us. It's something I'm going through and I'm going to hold on to my change cup.
Yes.
See, so Paul says it's a mystery. Notice this in verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now this doesn't mean a whodunit. This means something you can only see in the spirit. It's mysterion is the Greek word. It means the ability to perceive something spiritual. Okay? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means to go into the state of that Job was in, or talking about, or death. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's how quickly it'll be done. At the last trump. And we hope that ain't the one we got in the White House. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See what I'm saying? God has a set time, and Gabriel will blow the trumpet. And that's it. My time, your time's up. Won't be no more after this. And eternity will be ushered in. See what I'm saying? So this is the mystery, is that we're not all going in the grave. Some of us are going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, in other words, I won't be able to be subject to corruption ever again anymore. Like Jesus, he went in the grave and he got up incorruptible. He didn't even corrupt in the grave.
Right.
His flesh did not see corruption, the Bible says.
No way.
And this mortal shall have put on immortality. That's that eternal state.
Yes.
Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is that sting? That used to really hurt. Oh, grave, where is that victory? You lost. God defeated you by his own son. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which, notice this word, giveth us the victory. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't work for it. He gives you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all what the first advent of Christ was about, is to give you victory over the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If they could have produced that body, all they had to do is get that body, roll it right down Main Street, Jerusalem. There wouldn't even be no church.
No way.
But you know what? When they went there, they said, he is not here. He is risen. And he appeared to whoever he wanted to see him, but there was no body for them to go get and roll down the middle of Main Street in Jerusalem. You know what? Do this sometime. I did it, and I don't have time to talk about it, but I just want to mention it. I looked up, how do you prove when the enemy combatants are dead? And just research that. You'll find out people are still wondering, is Osama bin Laden really dead? Because there was never a body that was produced to prove that he was dead. And so you got conspiracy theories out there all about that. Osama bin Laden. Just look that up. That'll freak you out. And then the other people like Saddam Hussein and his sons, Uday and Hussein, they took them and they verified their bodies that they were dead. Here's their DNA, because they wanted everybody to know, we got them. You know what? Nobody ever did that to Jesus.
No.
Because they could not do that. Because he was not there.
That's right.
He is risen.
Malo.
See, as much as they hated the gospel, they would certainly have went and got that corpse if there was a corpse there. Said, oh, nope, no gospel. Here he is. And that's the reason why the world is configured around Jesus right now. It's 2019 years since he was born, and he lived, and he died, and he rose again. And that's why there is a church in existence today. And we hope you are a part of the church. If you're not, you ought to be. You ought to sign up right now, today. In your mind, make up your mind right now, I want to be on the side with Christ.
Oh yes.
And he loves me just like I am. So death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my beloved, this is the conclusion. Be ye steadfast. You know what steadfast that means? I'm not shaking around and flopping here and there. I'm solid in what God has done. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, continue the work of the Lord. And you're like, as you know, that your labor is not in vain. It's not for no purpose. That you do what you do. God called you and he put you and planted you in a certain spot to glorify him right where you are. At your job, at your school, on your street, in the marketplace, wherever you are, shine for Jesus. See, give glory to the Father wherever he planted you. It could even be I'm sitting and doing very little of nothing. But the people around me, some of them don't even know him. So I'm going to just tell you about his goodness and his mercy, that he loves you too. And you can get in on this deal right now. So the Apostle Paul explained the mystery to the Corinthians and stated that it should be, that they should be, the motivation for all believers is to become steadfast.
Yes.
In other words, you're not shaking around and listening to all the different scuttlebutt on the street. You're unmovable.
Yes.
See, I'm stuck on Christ and he's stuck on
yes.
me. And always abounding in the word and the work of the Lord. Yes. See, faith comes through hearing his word.
Yes.
Sit under his word. Hear his word. Let it nourish you and strengthen you and fortify you.
Right.
See, and then go do the work that the word gives you to do. You know, to represent the Lord. And in everyday life, and even to fight against struggles of the enemies of God, who are all defeated forever. None of the enemies of God will ever reign. They're all defeated.
Yes.
That means if they're against you, guess whose enemies they are? They're defeated. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You got to get to that place where I'm steadfast.
Yes.
And unmovable.
Yes.
I put it this way. I said, don't try to make me doubt it, because I know too much of God. You can't shake me. Somebody sent me a crazy email the other day talking about Buddha and all that. I said, you know what? Buddha is in the grave.
Yeah.
I wrote him back. He Buddha is in the grave. If he couldn't get out of his grave, what is he going to do for me? Muhammad is in the grave.
In the grave.
All of them, Confucius is in the grave. I was telling them in the new member class, they got Lenin all hooked up on machines.
Yeah.
I think it's Vladimir Lenin. And it's one of the greatest sites that you go over and visit. They have people in mile-long line to come in and see this body in air conditioning in a refrigerator with tubing pumping all through it. I don't want to see no dead body. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Look up Lenin's tomb. You want to have some
wow.
fun searching some online. But Jesus, he's still dead. Dead as a doornail.
Yeah.
So what good is that?
Yeah.
Okay, you know the arts of embalming. Okay.
Wow.
Wow, whoopee-doo. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uptake.
Yeah!
shall tell your mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trump. For the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, therefore, comfort ye one another with these words. You ought to find great comfort. You cannot lose. Let's put it that way. If you're in Christ, you can't lose. Somebody wrote a song, in Christ it can be done. And whatever it is can be done. If you're here today and you're not sure that you know Christ as your personal Savior, we want to extend that to you first. That's why we're here. That's why this is, they call us evangelical churches. In other words, we share the good news.
Yes, we do.
That God loves you just like you are. And if you, he sent his son to save you. That's why he came. And all you have to do is receive them. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. Even those that believe on his name. See? So that's the only name that will be acknowledged for salvation. The name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, the Bible says, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. That means some of them are going to be willfully bowing. We bow our knee to him now. But some of them are going to be saying, oh, I didn't know you were God. And you're going to have to bow anyway. See, on their way to judgment. And you're in one camp or the other. Either you're in the camp with Christ and you love him and you know you're saved. That's something you have to be certain about. Don't play with that.
That's right.
It's certain. It's not anything you can work for, earn, or deserve. It's a free gift.
Yes.
And God gives it to you because Jesus paid for it all by himself. Jesus paid it all to him. My old sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's what the songwriter said. See, he did that for you. And so I hope you know that. And if you're here today and you have not accepted him, we want to give you that opportunity right now. You don't have to do anything, but just put up your hand if you love Christ and you accept him today for the first time. Right where you are, raise your hand. We'll pray with you. We had a lady join on last week, but she's not in today. But we will connect with her pretty soon. And we also have another young lady who is a candidate for baptism. And we plan to get her baptized. That is just an initiation into the church.
Amen.
Officially, it's a public announcement that I trust Christ.
Amen.
And him only. And the baptism itself symbolizes me going into a liquid grave, so to speak, and rising up to a newness of life.
Amen.
See, that's why we baptize by immersion. Amen. Okay, and we thank God for that. Now, if you're here and you are saved and you just came to visit, you'd like to make St. Timothy your church home, and you come with Christian experience, you may come at this time also. Some people are saved and are looking for a good place to be planted. And we think St. Timothy is a good place to be planted.
Amen.
To be exposed to the Word.
Amen.
You can work with us here as we export the gospel elsewhere. We love you, and we're here to be your brother and sister, and to be whatever it is we need to be for you, to help you with whatever it is, the mission is that God has given you. And that's the type of church we are.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're here today, we give you that opportunity also. Amen. So otherwise, we hope you did get a good word from the message. Amen.